The science-backed benefits of spending time in nature. I know this well. I'm not a real nature girl, but I recently moved and I have a glorious backyard that backs up to a preserve with a pathway that is going to connect to the border-to-border trail. And the boys and I have been really enjoying that, my little puppies. So Dr. Peter Graham, he steps in. He's chief medical officer at the Blue Care Network through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. We welcome you back to the show here on 1290 WLBY. Listening to the crickets at night is so therapeutic. Watching the birds in the daytime. As I mentioned, I'm not a real nature person, but there is something that when you immerse yourself in it, it centers you and you feel relaxed, or at least gives you the permission to finally relax. We're such a busy, you know, people that finding that moment is glorious, Dr. Graham.
That it is. And not only is it glorious, there's science to back up that it's good for you.
All right, let's talk about that science. What is it?
Yeah, a couple things. American Psychological Association published what's called a meta-analysis. It's a look at a bunch of other studies, about 43 studies looking at what happens to people when they spend more time outdoors, out in nature. And, you know, 43 studies for those that aren't, you know, living in medical research is this. Quite a lot, and a lot of people, a lot of time, a lot of experience. So a lot you can draw from that. But they find a lot of really good stuff in there. Helps, you know, spending time and not a huge amount of time, by the way, just a couple hours a week. Reduces stress, which I think if find anybody out there thinks they don't have, you know, wish they had more stress. I don't think you're going to find them. Also, direct effects on things like blood pressure, positive effects on blood pressure, like lowering it, which is pretty good deal for doing something that's pleasurable and on its own. Improvements in mood, which I think for most of us, I think that's what you're mentioning, is fairly intuitive. We generally feel more relaxed, more upbeat, more optimistic, more energy. Help with things like circadian rhythm, also help people sleep. So a lot of really good stuff out of that.
And we're fortunate we live in a state where we have some beautiful, beautiful landscape, don't we?
That we do. It is really hard to go in any direction in Michigan and not run into some really lovely places to be, at least this time of year. And it's good to take advantage of it. Yeah, between a fantastic state park system, a couple of really good national parks, Great Lakes, small lakes, rivers, ponds, municipal parks, we've got a lot of really nice outdoor space.
And you don't have to necessarily do any kind of hard exercise outside to gain the benefits of this, do you?
No, and that's one of the really nice things about the way these, you know, the studies I indicated liked it was, you know, something as simple as taking a relatively leisurely walk or just spending time outdoors, even things that people do kind of routinely, like work in their yard or their garden. If there are people that really like doing that, seems to confer some health benefits as well. You know, outdoors is outdoors and it all seems to cumulatively add up. So, the one thing that does show up in that I encourage people to do, it's as you mentioned with like the sound of the crickets and the rest. My personal favorite, by the way, is rain on leaves. I love that sound. But, you know, unplug for a little bit. Don't be staring at your smartphone. You know, listen, look, actually hear, see, and connect with the world, the natural world, and what's around you. If you have somebody with you, you can have a conversation with, that's fine, too.
I agree. I see so many people when they're walking their dogs around where I moved to. It's a little bit of a younger community, and a lot of the young people wear the earbuds, and so they've got music on. They don't always hear when I give a hearty hello, and they just kind of walk by, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to older people walking their animals who can't wait to engage with someone else. So that was a little startling for me.
Yeah, not to get too far down that rabbit hole, but and I do listen to your pods from time to time, too, particularly when I'm exercising, but make sure you've got kind of the ambient sound on too, just from a risk and hazard point of view. It's not great to not have the auditory awareness of what's going on. So,
yeah, that's a really good point there. Dr. Graham, there is something called forest bathing, which is trending. What is that?
Yeah, and I love this whole topic. This is really fun to talk about. Forest bathing is a really interesting one. It first got described in Japan back in the 1980s, you know, some 48 years ago. And, you know, in Japan, you know, green space like we have is relatively harder to come by, particularly in a really dense populated area like Tokyo, Yokohama, where you have to go miles before you kind of get places where there's a lot of woods. But what they found was, you know, again, the same sort of findings of people intentionally going out, spending time just being in the woods. As the name would imply, forest bathing, like sunbathing. You know, you just go out and be where it's green, and be with the trees and the grass and all that stuff. Very similar findings, improvement in mood, lower stress, better attention span. You know, people reported, and there were some really good objective data on this. They performed better at work academically, you know, because they were a lot less stressed. Also found some good data on reducing amount of cortisol, which I think a lot of people have become aware of as kind of your body's stress hormone. And you spend, you know, a little bit of time out in the green space and enjoying it, your cortisol levels drop, which is most of the time a really good thing. So forest bathing, you know, kind of similar concept, just intentionally going out and spending some time where it's green.
Wow, interesting. So you do need to stay safe, however, while you're in nature. Everything's beautiful. You might get so immersed in it. You got to watch out for those tree roots. Let's talk a little bit about safety.
Yeah, thanks. And I was a little bit of the downer talking about AirPods and a couple other ones, you're right, that we do need to pay attention to. Anytime you're going to be outdoors for a prolonged period of time, that's usually more than about 10, 15 minutes intentionally. This time of year, especially sunscreen. You know, sun exposure, we like people to get a little bit of it, vitamin D and all that good stuff, but we don't want you exposed to increased skin cancer risk or sunburns. Those are both bad. So make sure if you're going to be out for any prolonged period of time, put on sunscreen, reapply it if you're going to be swimming or doing anything where you're going to get wet or it's likely to come off or sweat heavily. The other is insects. And, you know, those are bothersome, but I think as we're also beginning to hear, for a variety of reasons, this is a particularly tick-heavy summer. We've had kind of a cool, wet spring, which ticks just absolutely love, unfortunately. So making sure you're doing what you can do to avoid tick exposure. Common things that help with that, it's kind of similar to what you do for mosquito exposure. Make sure, you know, put on an insect repellent. It does help quite a bit. Make sure you're mindful of your clothing. And ticks, this is particularly important. If you're going to be in tall grass areas kind of off of established like paved paths or gravel paths and getting into literally into the weeds or into grass, make sure you're wearing long pants and socks and keeping your feet covered. Ticks are amazingly adaptive little buggers, and they will latch onto you much quicker than you ever think they could. And last but not least, if you've been out and about doing that kind of stuff, do it what we call a tick check. Just look yourself over, you know, get down to your skivvies or even the all together and really take a look. And if you can't see all the areas you need to see, if you've got a partner that you trust, ask them to take a look at parts that you can't see. You know, ticks particularly like the back of knees. They like the back, like your back, your underarms, elbows, any place there's a skin fold.
I don't know how those little critters find it, but they do. And many of them are, especially in Michigan here, are the really small ticks. They're very hard to see. So you just have to really look for them. And I always brush my dogs before I bring them back in the house after we've taken a walk. I also recommend something called a tick tornado. You can get it on Amazon. They're really cool. It's a great way to pull ticks out if you need to. It works far better than tweezers, just the design of it. Tick tornado. Because you don't want to have to deal with ticks and the possibility of Lyme disease, which is not a good thing. Right, doctor?
Absolutely. Lyme disease we worry about. There's also, we're starting to see what are called Lone Star ticks, which we, as the name would imply, typically were in Texas, but they've kind of moved their way north. They carry a thing called alpha-gal syndrome, alpha, like the Greek letter in G-A-L, can create all sorts of problems with meat allergies. So people who run across alpha-gal syndrome have a lot of dietary problems afterwards, really something you want to avoid.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so the basic rule of thumb is you don't want any tick on you, irrespective of species. Just keep them away from you. No, I appreciate the lead on the removal device. Just, you know, kind of last word on that. Don't panic if you find one on yourself. You know, if it's just crawling along, it's fine. And, you know, one of the easier ways to snag them when they're doing that is just a piece of scotch tape and just fold them up and pitch them.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, if you do find one that's burrowed in, you're right. Like something like that will help, or a pair of tweezers if you feel dexterous enough. You don't need to. I know folks feel like they need to go to the emergency room or even urgent care. You really don't need to, as long as you're feeling okay. Just watch for rashes around the bite or symptoms of like kind of flu-like stuff afterwards, and then you need to talk to your doctor.
And try to save it so you can identify it. Do a Google search and see what kind it is, because that can make a difference too, right?
Yes, and again, the scotch tape trick works for that one too, because once they're kind of double-sided in that, they're not going anywhere.
That's right. Wonderful advice today. You can still enjoy nature. It's therapeutic. Science says so, but you do have to stay safe. Peter Graham, he is the clinical director for the Blue Care Network. Always great talking with you, Dr. Graham. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for more information, you can go online to miBlueDaily.com. That's miBlueDaily.com. This is Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.